Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like gets a moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, with my co-host, DJ Wavy D. We're back with another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. As always, go down to the description and show notes of the episode where you can see the link to our affiliate WWE Shop and Expedia. Click those links. Let them know that we sent you to them, and you know you support us out a little bit. Whether you're booking your vacation through Expedia or buying, you know, some new WWE merch. With that being said, maybe you want to buy yourself the new Women's United States Championship. You know, it finally happened. This is going to be our Let's Get Cooking, sort of talking about this title. So it finally happened. We finally got a mid-card Women's Championship. Something, you know, I've been asking for, you know, Wavy over there, a little bit skeptical to it. Mm. But I remember Friday he put in there, you know, your wishes finally came true, and it has. We finally get a Women's United States Champion. Not a lot of details on it. Is it dual branded? We don't really know. Sounds like the women don't really know much about it either. But with that, being an official title now, who do you think should be the first Women's United States Champion? I'll let you start.
I think there's only one right answer, honestly. I mean, you could throw other names in the hat, but the person who deserves this title because of their placement on the card and all of their hard work over this year, and you know the fact of their placement on the card, it won't feel like a downgrade. It'll be an actual achievement, and not just like a token on the, or it won't be just like extra fluff on their resume. It'll actually be meaningful. I would say Chelsea Green. I mean, you could say other names like Charlotte or Rhea or Bianca or Becky, but I think those guys are too big for the title currently to where it would just feel like fluff. And I know, you know, being the first holder, you know, you got to put on someone who can elevate the title, yada. But I think the best person for this job is Chelsea Green.
Okay. I don't hate your answer. However, would not be my pick. I wouldn't be upset if she was the first. However, I just think her gimmick doesn't scream like United States champ. She's a comedy gimmick. She's the Dolph Ziggler of the women's division. She's there to put people over. And so I don't think it's going to be her. I wouldn't be upset if it was. But you sort of sold my point here with who I'm going to pick. It has to be someone with a big enough name to elevate the title immediately. And you started naming some big names, and it's my pick's not one of them. But it's the one that you didn't name, and that is Jade Cargill. I think not only do you need to put it on someone with a big name, but you need to put it on someone that could tell a story that makes it meaningful, that I would want to, because if not, you're just going to get the men's United States Championship picture where no one really cares about what's going on. And because of you have LA Knight as champion, and it's not necessarily the best run. People don't really care about that title. A lot of it was because Logan Paul was champion. And while he had good matches, he wasn't there every week. And so it sort of, that title sort of felt irrelevant. With Jade, you immediately have a potential story. And I'm going to steal this storyline from NXT because they didn't fully go through with it. But if you've watched NXT over the last 2 to 3 months, the story between Nathan Frazer and Axiom, they're the tag team, but Nathan Frazer wanted to go after the speed title, and it sort of distracted him. He was late to a show, almost had to miss a title defense. And so I think that's a storyline you could use here between Jade and Bianca, where Jade wins this title, and because she has to defend it all the time, maybe she's distracted. Maybe this is a dual branded show or title, and so Jade has to be on SmackDown defending the United States Women's Championship, and then on Mondays at Raw defending the tag team titles, and she gets distracted with that to where they end up losing the tag team champions, which then could set Bianca, because I know a lot of people think Jade need to turn on Bianca. I think Bianca's turning on Jade, and this is a great way to be that catalyst, for WrestleMania, to have that big match between Bianca and Jade. You accomplish two different things. You elevate the title immediately and build a bigger story for WrestleMania. So I think it has to be Jade.
I'm not against Jade. The only downside is I see the IWC comparing that to her holding the TBS title. You know what I'm saying? They're going to tell you what's the difference between her holding US title to her holding the TBS title and her having that long reign, beating everyone and whatnot.
Right. That'll be a fair critique. But it's also going to be one of those things where, as long as they give me a storyline, because the problem with her being the TBS champion was she never had a story. She was just in the ring beating jobbers up for a year and a half. And then when she finally got a real competitor, it was Chris Statlander, and she had already signed with WWE. Mm. So that's why the first story, if you give it to her first story, if it's Bianca Belair, and I even think, because at this point, Bianca's at a place where I think she's not too big in the world title picture. She's been out of it for, almost 2 years now. And so I feel like Bianca could be someone that, let's say this title starts playing, Jade wins it, but Bianca's her first opponent. And you could even do sort of what NXT did with Kalani Jordan, where Jade wins it and the first competitor is her best friend, because Kalani's first opponent was Sol Ruka. You could say, hey, Bianca, you're my best friend. You got me here. I'm going to reward you for helping me by a title match. And that could also set up a feud. So there's a couple different ways you could play that story. But I also think – I think we could get some of these potential NXT people, like a Sol Ruka. She's been working main event here recently. I think there's a lot of people that haven't been on NXT a lot recently that may be caught up here at the beginning of the new year. That might be. I'm assuming they're running a tournament. I don't remember exactly how they said they were. I'm assuming they're going to run a tournament, so maybe we get a Sol Ruka on the main roster, and this is how they debut her. That would be pretty cool. Maybe a Gigi Dolan, because they ain't got much for her on NXT. She ain't been seen in 6 months.
So I looked up who's the most likely winners for the United States Women's Title, kind of see what news articles start, what names or whatever. So Bleacher Report threw out a list of seven names. I want to run by you. This first one, I think you'd be fully on board. Ivy Nile. Who better to hold the United States Championship than the sole woman of American made?
So I would be 100% on board with it. But I don't think it's a possibility because for whatever reason America made, can never get a fucking win.
Another name they threw on here, Piper Niven. You know, instead of her tag team partner, Chelsea Green, you have Piper Niven, who in her own right is a great wrestler.
So and I think
it might be a launching point for her to be
right
in the big scene.
So I'm not a big fan of Piper. You know that. But I would like it if she won it more than Chelsea because I think she could win it and sort of, like you said, launch herself to where she could separate herself from Chelsea. Or even it could be like Chelsea turns on her because she's jealous or whatever. But yeah, so I'm not against Piper Niven. It just wouldn't be my first pick.
How about Raquel Rodriguez or Raquel Gonzalez? What does she go by now? Rodriguez?
I think it's Rodriguez now, yeah.
Raquel Rodriguez.
My only reason I would say no is because if we look at the title situation in WWE right now, Judgment Day has the Women's World Championship.
Tag titles.
The Raw Tag Championships. And they're sort of, you know, Dom, I'm assuming, is going to be in play for the world title if Damian wins it again.
Mm.
And so for them to be, like, in possession of three championships of the few that's there, I feel like that's too much for that faction.
They did that at one point, and Raw ran pretty smoothly. When Damian had the world title, they had the tag titles, and Rhea had the world women's title.
Yeah, but even at that time, like Raw, I think the roster is a little different too because there's just no real like competition. We're at a point right now where if you're not in Judgment Day or if you're not in the Bloodline, you're not in the title picture, and I feel like it hurts the rosters that everything is centered around those two factions.
I know you're not gonna like this next pick, but like Piper Niven, this is another person who has the tools to be back in the main event scene, but it's just that lack of crowd connection. I think they really need a mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
But Shayna Baszler.
I'm not against it. We're going to talk about Shayna here when we do our Raw review. So I have some things I want to say about that whole faction. So I'll save my comments on that for later.
Next name on the list was Meechan.
So I'm confused with this one because the rumor was she got released.
This article came out, you know, yesterday or whatever.
Okay,
but
so I haven't seen anything official, and she never said anything. But I saw, like, she was released. It was one of them stupid, like.
I can't see Mia Yim being the first champion, but I can see her holding it within the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, Mia Yim has been featured prominently on SmackDown over the last couple months.
And she's done a lot of good work on there and on NXT. I could see them rewarding her down the line with that title. Absolutely.
We already touched on Chelsea Green. Naomi is another name who probably won't sniff a world title, but she could be a player in the mid-card scene.
I feel like, similar to Chelsea, she's sort of like, she's that Dolph Ziggler role where she's strong enough, she has a resume of, I'm a world champion. I've gone to TNA and I won the Knockouts title. They just haven't given her that momentum. She had a lot of momentum coming in, out losing the TNA title, coming in sort of on top of the women's division, and then they just haven't really done anything with it.
I feel like she has the skill level of a mid-card title. Like when she holds like the world title. Like I think the main thing for me is her finisher is weak. And her moveset, while it's like, you know, it's babyface, it's not like a strong moveset. It's not like a powerful moveset. So it comes off very like, you know, especially if her opponents don't sell it well, her moveset comes off weak. That's why I think she's going to be really good.
And because she's a little bit more athletic, when she gets in the ring with some of the more mid-card women like Candice LeRae, who's not as athletic as her, it's just awkward. The mix of styles, like, won't work. I think she would be a fine champion. I
just not first champion.
Right. It's not the first. I don't think her name's big enough to elevate the title for people to care.
Now, the last name I want to throw at you, because this person does have a big name, and, you know, this person in the right circumstance, especially, say, if they were to turn heel again, you know, it might be a little too soon, but I feel like they could do great work with a title as a heel, and that's Bayley. She has name recognition to bring some prestige to the title.
Yep.
I don't see her in the main title picture.
Right. I'm not against it. I just don't know if she is. What she has going forward is Triple H loves her. Like, she's a Triple H girl through and through. And so I could definitely see him giving her that title. I feel like that's a safe pick, though. That's that pick where we don't trust anyone else, so we're just going to put it on Bayley. Similar to what Tony Khan does whenever he needs to vacate a world title, he just gives it to Jon Moxley, which is a good thing for Bayley. It means they trust her, but I just feel like it's a little safe.
Yeah, I think Bayley is too old for the hugger gimmick now. Like, you know, she's not like the young upstart, you know, to do the hugger gimmick. And I don't like her, like, I guess you call it role model. I don't know if that's really her gimmick, but
I feel like when she turned back on Io, right, or Io turned on her, it hurt her because she's still sort of, she's like a tweener now. She's not the hugger, like, super baby face, but she's also not the sort of, like, you know, I'm going to yell at Michael Cole every week on commentary, like heel. And she's sort of in between, and she don't know what she's doing with her hair because she be doing different hairstyles every week. Mm. And I don't know what I feel like. Her age is definitely a factor. She's not the young upstart anymore. She's got 10 plus years in WWE under her belt now. So I think it's a safe pick. It would be a good pick to book. I think you have to make a big splash with this. And I don't know if she makes people care enough. I also don't know, like, who her first story would be against, because we can't keep running these same stories over and over again.
And then I guess last possibility is we have a few women waiting in the wing as far as returning from injuries and whatnot. Alexa Bliss is back in the workout facilities training. Carmella, I don't know if she ever wrestles again. I'd love to see her back. But
I think if she comes back, it's in a valet role, I think. Because I was kind of hoping that the rumors were true and Corey Graves would get back in the ring, because he's apparently been getting tested, and they're not going to have him do much. But I mean, I think it would be cool to have her be like his valet, or I think she would be fine on commentary, to be honest with you. I don't think she comes back, though. I think she's perfectly fine, you know, having Corey support her. She can do her own thing. I mean, she's been posting thirst traps on Instagram here recently. So, I mean, she can do her own thing. Corey's going to be the next Michael Cole, sort of the head of commentary when Michael Cole finally retires, if he ever retires. So, I don't know if we'll see Carmella. Alexa Bliss would be an interesting name. I think as long as she comes back completely separated from the Wyatt gimmick, it's going to be hard for fans, because the last time we've seen her, that's all she was. She was in the Wyatt gimmick. And so they got to do a very distinct job of separating her from that. If she's not a part of it, you got to let us know right away she's not a part of this.
Well, no, I think when Alexa went out with her pregnancy, she was face. She was doing matches with Asuka, or whatever. She was teaming with Asuka.
Right? Yeah, but didn't she still carry the doll with her?
I don't know. I think she was back to her Little Miss Bliss kind of outfit, but she was a face teaming with Asuka.
last I remember Alexa, I'm gonna be honest with you. Last I remember of Alexa Bliss, she wasn't the Firefly Funhouse Alexa, but she was still carrying the little doll so they could sell merchandise. And it, when she comes back, she needs to be completely separated from that gimmick. If she's not a part of it, they got to tell us up front she's not a part of this. That'd be a great way to bring her back. Though I feel like if she returns, it'll be in Rumble, at the Rumble, and she'll be in that match. But with that, let's transition into, we got one little thing with news here. Raw and SmackDown, apparently it's been decided that both will be 3-hour shows heading into 2025, which me and you are 100% on board on. Yes. These 2-hour shows are ass. Just ass. Yep. Straight ass. I feel like here recently, like noticing what a 2-hour show looks like under Triple H, we need a 3-hour show. Because he does too much crammed in, and we still have 3 hours worth of commercials. And so they're not gonna lose that. I'm happy for it. I don't think it's too much. I think if they do it right, you can spend an hour with the Bloodline story, the Judgment Day on Raw, or I have a feeling we're gonna start doing cross brand shit again.
I don't want the fully cross brand shows.
I agree. Which it would make sense for them to keep it separate if the other rumor that is true, and the video game is gonna be SmackDown versus Raw. Like, we need distinct rosters for that game to make any sense. Which would be awesome, because those games were... Can we get the old game maker? Because 2K won't ruin it.
Oh, THQ?
Yeah, THQ, Ukes, all of them. Just, I need a decent soundtrack this year, because these soundtracks have been ass here recently.
I didn't buy this last 2K. I ended up buying NBA 2K instead this year for the first time in like 4 years. I'm having fun enough.
Yeah, that's good. So 3-hour long episodes, I don't think it's a big problem. It means more opportunity. I think with the way Triple H books, he needs the 3 hours.
Yeah.
So he can organize everything he wants to do.
His main problem was that, especially when they moved to 2 hours, he's still trying to tell, say, 7 stories.
Right.
But he can only fit 5 on, so then he'll tell those 5 stories for 2 weeks, and then he'll drop 2 of the lower stories and bring in the 6th and 7th story after, like, being paused or delayed for 2 weeks.
Right.
But that's why, you know, we didn't see, like, say, the Bloodline. We didn't see the Studline, you know, saying Pure Fusion Collective. We didn't see him for like 2-3 weeks, and their momentum got paused. Their story got paused, and then you don't see, like, we didn't see American Made this week. They're on last week, but we didn't see American Made this week. The Howdies came back for like the first time in a couple weeks, and that was a shit show, and. Like, and then on SmackDown this past Friday, correct? We didn't get LA Knight and the United States Championship angle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Raw's missing the dancing girls and Lyra and Natalia and Zelina's trying to fight to get time. Like, which are women who are going to fight for this future U.S. title or future IC title? You have to start building these women up. That way, we're not kind of scrounging for names.
Right,
you know, to see who could, you know, secure this U.S. women's title. We got to start building up this lower card a little bit. Well, what, right. Like, you know, and like, there's nothing wrong with having 5-10 minute matches. Not every match has to be a 15-20 minute banger. It's okay to have a routine 5-10 minute match just to get these wrestlers on screen and, you know, get people familiar with them.
I'm not completely against you. I agree. But I don't want is for Triple H to start getting people recognition that we just start throwing matches on cards that don't lead to anything. Because my biggest thing is if there's no plot being built, and we'll build. I think we're going to build to this. If not, I'll just go ahead and talk about it. To me, when I watch a wrestling show, it's a TV show, and so your weekly show should build to sort of your season finale, which is the PLE, and so as we'll go ahead and transition into our Raw review, I felt like this episode of Raw, like quite literally nothing happened. A lot happened, but nothing of importance really happened with this episode. So before we break it down, my overall thoughts was, and this may be a little strict, but I wasn't joking when I gave it a 1 in the Discord yesterday. I just felt like nothing that happened booking wise made any sense. And nothing got progressed to a place where the 2 hours that I spent watching Raw was well worth the time. Like, I felt like I just wasted 2 hours. So what are your more overall thoughts of the episode? And then we'll break it down.
So my kind of overall thoughts on Triple H and his booking, especially of Raw, I mean, SmackDown too overall when it comes to wrestling, is that, you know, you have your Drew McIntyre and CM Punk feuds that are like, you know, blood feuds and a great storyline, and the promos are hitting and the story carries on week to week. Even like your Bloodline saga, you know, that doesn't really involve a title or anything, you know, storyline driven. But, you know, when it comes to your titles, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the main motivation behind a lot of wrestling is I want to win world titles. I want to be top dog. I want championships. I want a resume. I want all these achievements. I feel like when it comes to the title pictures, you know, it's okay to have, you know, your title pictures be, hey, I want the championship. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. like, you know, say if Gunther is the champion, you know, if him and Damian are, you know, running back, you know, you could bring up some of your old few, like your old talking points. But at the end of the day, these guys want to be top dog. And if it's like, hey, Gunther, you're in the way of me holding the championship. I want to beat you for the title. I want to be world champion. I feel like we don't have to put too much story behind the fact that I'm a top guy. I want the world title. I want everything that comes with the world title, you know, the endorsements and the interviews and the movies, you know, the ice cream bars, kind of what CM Punk was saying, you know, back in the day. And, you know, like Rhea and Liv, not everything, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be a revenge tour, you know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, that storyline was good, but when it comes to, like, Liv's next challenger, we kind of went from Rhea back to Rhea, you know what I'm saying? We went from Rhea, and then she fought Crown Jewel randomly. Well, not randomly, but, you know, side quest to Crown Jewel. And now she's kind of being brought back into this War Games, which is going to dive back into Liv versus Rhea. You know, and also sidetrack over to SmackDown when it comes to more same machine guns, you know, being the tag champions over there. You know what I'm saying? Their kind of drive and story is that, you know, we've been a top tag team in every promotion we've been in until we, you know, and we've been trying to get to WWE for years, you know, under the past regime. You know, we weren't quite their people, but under Triple H, you know, say he's going to give us a chance and we can finally try and, you know, make our name for ourselves in the biggest promotion in the world. So, you know, them, you know, being kind of thrown in and winning the tag titles, you know, now the Street Profits should have motivation to be like, hey, these guys just came in and took what we've been wanting for the past so-and-so months. Our motivation is we want to take these guys out and win the title. You know, so I don't feel like storylines have to be so complex, you know, for every story.
You know, I do agree with that. I do think that we can have, especially with someone like Cody, because I feel like the problem with booking for Cody is because he's the super, you know, John Cena, Superman, babyface. If a lot of people want his challengers to be the Thanos type heels. and that works. But if, let's say, you know, AJ Styles came back, unfortunately he got hurt again, but why can't AJ Styles come back and say, look, we all want what you have.
Yeah, I want your spot.
And I want that. And Cody's motivation should solely just be, I finally got what my dad couldn't get. Now I got to protect it. And so I'm going to use whatever means that it is to protect this, whether that means that he uses heel things. Like I said this a couple months ago, where like in a solo episode, where I think a good way to sort of benefit Cody's booking, because he is boring, is that he finally got to the top of the mountain. And when he got there, he realized that it's a lot harder to stay there than it is to get there. And he had a hell of a time getting there. And so now he has KO and Randy and AJ Styles and LA Knight and Logan Paul all trying to get what he got. And now he's becoming paranoid. He can't trust nobody. I think that would add a depth to his character where he's not a heel, but he maybe has to cheat a little bit to maintain that title because he doesn't want to lose it. I think a lot of casual fans would say that that's too nuanced and we don't want to nuance the show. If you're not, if you watch any show on TV, all their characters have nuance. And if you're booking this thing correctly, it'll be good. I mean, we've seen sort of nuance in like Roman Reigns, even in the Bloodline when The Rock came back, and The Rock, you know, there was nuance in that character with how The Rock was playing and everything. If you're booking this thing correctly, people will watch it and people will like it. So I do agree that we can have simple motivations, simple as I just want to be the top guy. The problem I have with Gunther is his entire gimmick is I don't care about the flash. I don't care about the movie star roles. I just want to be the best in the ring. And so we'll get to his segment here in a minute. The first thing I want to talk about is, I don't know about you, and I don't know about the listeners, but I'm tired of these pre-tape shows. And not necessarily that they pre-tape them. It's how they tape them now. I don't know if you caught on to this, but yesterday's show, and it actually got confirmed, I saw today, they started taping it at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And so a lot of what they showed live was actually pre-taped. And I only caught on to this because I was scrolling through X, and what we didn't know as the main event, which was Bianca and Jade versus Raquel and Liv, I saw someone tweet the result of it in picture form at like 9:15 before it even got on TV. So if we're going to do pre-tape next week's show after the current show ends live. What Triple H is doing, though, is he's starting at 7 and he's either taping all the way to 11 or he's ending it at 10 o'clock. And instead of doing the main events and all of that, like they typically do at Raw, like the last time I went to Raw started at 8. It was live, but before that, they did 2 speed matches and main event and then did Raw. But instead of doing that now, or they either start with that, I don't know. I feel like they're doing too much. And so now I have to watch out for spoilers for 2 weeks and not just the one. And I'm not the person that complains about spoilers, because I understand that wrestling's fake and I watch it for the entertainment value of it itself. Like, I'm going to watch Raw next week. I know what happens already. I'm not excited about it. We're not going to talk about it until next week when everyone else knows about it. But I know there's a lot of people who don't like spoilers. I could give 2 fucks about it. I'm not anti-spoiler. I'm not a big fan of pre-taping the shows all the time. I get you want to give your people time off and all that, but Nerdy D mentioned this. It feels like when they pre-tape, because you mentioned American Made, that we didn't see American Made this week. Well, it's because they're on next week's episode, and for whatever reason, they don't want to put them on twice. I don't know.
I guess twice in the same night, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't want the crowd to see the same talent twice. in the same night, which I get it, but at the same time, like, if they're in a story, people aren't going to necessarily care.
The thing is, like, Thanksgiving's not for another 2 weeks. Like, Thanksgiving's
not until the 28th. What are we pre-taping for?
Yeah, it's not until the 28th.
Because you're live the week. Raw is live the 25th. That's when they go back to being live again. So, like, what are we pre-taping for? Because I know next week, SmackDown is going to be a double tape. Because Thanksgiving, so the Thanksgiving Friday or Black Friday is going to be a pre-tape episode, which is fine. That makes sense. But we're pre-taping Raw 2 weeks before Thanksgiving for whatever reason. Like, no reason was given. I didn't see any, like, UK tour or any of that. I don't know. It's, we got to stop with this. We just got to stop with it. It's just, it makes watching the product, when I have to physically, like, I'm watching the product and the thing that I'm currently watching on TV right now gets spoiled, I got a problem with that. Either you got to do better, you got to find a way to, I mean, you can't police what everyone in the arena is doing on Twitter, but I don't know. But let's actually break down what we got. So we started with Gunther and Damian in the ring. I didn't think it was a bad segment. I'm just confused with what they're doing with Gunther. You painted the picture. You kind of understand the vision, apparently, of what we got going on here.
Yeah, even before Gunther started talking, I could see, based on his mannerisms and his face, that he was uneasy. And he was kind of like out of character. He felt uneasy and he was uncomfortable and he felt unconfident, not confident. And then he started talking, and then I felt like his words, like his emotion by his words matched that. Mm-hmm. And then even, you know, when Damian came out, Damian called him out on it, that he was unconfident and he felt like he couldn't beat him, and he was, you know, Cody beat him, and, you know, he wasn't his same self. And I felt like everything was kind of being told, you know, kind of to the cue. And so I wish Gunther, you know, talked a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't feel like that promo in particular needed the, like, America bashing, Veterans Day bashing. Maybe, right. You know, his previous promo, sure. But this one, I felt like he was telling the story that they were trying to tell. And Damian came out looking strong. And then the friction between him and Kaiser. Because mm-hmm. Kaiser, you know, was getting a little too big for his britches. And, you know, I think that's going to, you know, it's like the early seeds for a split between them. But,
right. Know. So, I see where you're going. I do. I think what's happened with me, though, is I've sort of, the more I listen to Nerdy D shit on them, the more I start to buy into that. Gunther wasn't bad last night. He wasn't. I think he actually plays the sort of, you know, the character well, because what's been his shtick? I've been trying to convince people that his shtick is, I'm the best in the ring. Well, the last two major matches he's had in the ring, he needed help to win, or he lost. So Finn was distracting Damian is how he won the title, and then he had to fight Cody, and he lost. And those are his last two major matches. And so maybe he does have doubt. Am I really the ring general? And instead of putting the blame on him, the last few weeks it's been, Ludwig, you got to do better. You can't beat Sheamus. My fear is they're just going to do sort of the reverse of SummerSlam, where Ludwig comes out and turns on Gunther, and that's how Damian wins the title back. And I'm not fine with that. We can be more creative in how we do this. But I'm not anti the segment. I think, you know, Ludwig came out, spoke while Gunther was trying to speak, and Gunther didn't like it. And so I didn't think it was awful. You know, going back and watching it and actually sort of, you know, watching it objectively, it was one of the better segments that Gunther's had here recently. Initially, I thought it would be like the cool thing, you know, it's Veterans Day, he could rip on the USA, but that's not his gimmick. He's not the anti-American heel. He's the, I wouldn't even call him a heel. He's just, he's what we just described. His whole gimmick is, I have the title and I'm better than you. You can't beat me for it. But that's sort of being broken down. Damian broke that apart. He's exposed that you're not better than Cody. You're not better than me. You needed help to beat me. And so I see your vision. I just hope that they continue this. And I feel like Triple H should have pushed this one out till Saturday night main event, because I feel like they're rushing the story too much. I think as much as I hate that Triple H sort of coast and draw stories out too long, I feel like this one's being rushed. I feel like there's a little bit more you can get out of it. And Damian Priest winning the title back in New York, his hometown, just writes itself. So maybe that's what the plan is. Maybe Kaiser gets involved at Survivor Series and it ends in like a DQ or something. And maybe that's what happens. But I didn't hate it. You know, the second time I watched it, the same way that I sort of shit on it last night. So, now,
the big plot hole that we need to address on Monday Night Raw: why is Bianca all buddy buddy with Io Sky, but she don't fuck with Bayley still?
You're right, and we'll get to that at the very end of this breakdown, because it is a big plot hole. Makes no sense.
Because they were just fighting for the world title like earlier that night,
right?
Not earlier that night, but like last week or week before, they were fighting for the titles and all this other stuff.
Yeah. So the next, I guess the first match of the night, speaking of Io Sky, is Damage Control with a returning Dakota Kai versus what you would call the stud line, what WWE calls the PFC, and what I call the snore line. Now, I mentioned I had some things to say about this team, so let me just go ahead and say them, and you can respond. Individually, I don't hate the members of this group. I don't like their booking. I'll just put it that way. So, Shayna Baszler, my problem with Shayna, and it's not just her individually, it's her style of gimmick, is her entire gimmick is, I'm a trained MMA fighter. Well, as someone who watches WWE, not to watch real fighting, but with the whole idea that this is fake, I don't give a fuck that you can choke any of these women in the back out. If that's the case, Shayna should be every champion in the fucking company, because she's the baddest of all of them in terms of like fighting ability, right? And so, like, if you want to do the MMA character, or right, I feel like they were doing it perfect with Lola Vice, where she has more charisma outside of I'm a trained MMA fighter. It's I'm the Latina heat. And, oh, by the way, when you get in the ring with me, I'm trained in MMA. But that's not her whole gimmick. Where with Shayna, that's all it is. And that's what I don't care about. Because if I wanted to watch women beat each other up for real, I would just go turn on UFC and watch Macy Barber, or I don't even know who's at the top of that division anymore. Because a lot of them went to Bellator. But I would go watch real fighting. Same thing with like Sonya, because Sonya is MMA trained as well. And I don't hate Zoe Stark. I just think the booking of the group, it makes me not care for it. Because they came in, they hurt Dakota, and it's not every match, but they've lost to some form of Lyra and the Dancing Girls twice. They've lost to Natalya at some point. And so you take these losses, and I'm like, well, you're not strong. I don't care about you. I feel like the booking could be better. And then, I mean, even then, they lose to Damage Control. The match was a clusterfuck to me. This was one of those segments where a lot happened, but it really didn't lead to anything. And the amount of – and this is – where I talk about like the styles were completely different, because I know you like the Asians, and this is nothing about you know, nothing personal against Kyrie or EO. Their style just doesn't do it for me.
Oh, no, I don't like Kyrie's style. I like EO's wrestling. I don't like right. Kyrie's wrestling.
I just – Kyrie especially, like, she's the most – she's sloppy. Most, she's sloppy. She's not the most unathletic I've seen. Tegan Knox got fired. But, like, she can't run the ropes. It doesn't look realistic. And it just – yeah, it throws me off. Even, like, Dakota Kai, you know – yesterday, just and I get it was her debut. She hadn't been in a ring in like 3 months, but it she was and not necessarily sloppy, but it just didn't look like she was going full speed. But yeah, Kyrie Shane, I can't watch her. Like I laugh every time because she's like 120 wet, and she's like trying to beat up Shayna Baszler, who if this was real, would fucking break her arm in 2 seconds, like. I don't know. I can't get behind it. What's your thoughts on it?
So, when it comes to Pure Fusion Collective, their first problem is their team name is bad. It's terrible. Also, I liked Shayna and Zoe when they were on their own.
Yeah.
When Sonya first came in, I was like, you know, I was glad to see Sonya back. But, you know, it was interesting when, you know, the idea of them being together. But I don't think Sonya is the right mouthpiece for that group, especially for the two of them. You know, Sonya did really good when she was the GM of, like, SmackDown or whatever, or Nick's assistant. I mean, Adam's assistant, whatever she was, the GM, or I forget what she did. She was really good in that role. And, you know, she could talk and tell stories and stuff like that as, like, a authority figure type of thing, but her Mike Steele's as far as leading the faction, I have not been the biggest fan of. The comparison with Shayna and Lola Vice, I think the big part where Lola got her kind of beat is because Lola is like attractive and she twerks.
Right.
Like we're not gonna see Shayna twerk it.
But that's my whole point is that Shayna doesn't have anything outside of I'm trained MMA, where Lola is I'm Latina heat, I'm attractive, I dance, I have charisma outside of the fact that I'm a trained MMA fighter.
Well, that goes into kind of pretty privilege. Like if we saw Shayna trying to like do what Lola does, we look at her like she was crazy.
I'm not saying she has to sit there and twerk and shit, but you can create a gimmick outside of I can actually fight.
When you're on the tougher looking side, you know what I'm saying? Kind of, you know, like not as feminine features and stuff like that. I feel like you kind of your options as far as charisma are kind of narrowed down a little bit, especially when you're on the woman's side of being, you know, like you know the Shayna Baszlers of the world, the ODBs, the Awesome Kongs, you know what I'm saying? You kind of get, not pigeonholed, but, you know what I'm saying? You kind of, there's only certain things you kind of do. I think they dropped the ball with her when she broke up with Ronda. She had that really good promo where I was like, yo, Shayna fucking killed that promo against Ronda. And then she got booked strong for like a week and a half, and they kind of dropped the ball with her. I think Shayna needs a change of maybe attire. I don't know what other gimmick she can do, though. Like, as far as just, like, a badass who can beat your ass. Like, I don't know what other gimmick you can kind of give Shayna.
Well, you got to sort of, like, so I'll go to AEW and I'll praise them a little bit. I know that's out of what I typically do. But, you know, Marina Shafir is, you know, one of Shayna's friends. She's a trained MMA fighter. She's part of John Moxley's muscle. I feel like if you create some sort of faction, similar to like what they did with, I feel like she could join, you know, the Judgment Day and be the muscle they want Raquel to be. And she could do it better because she's actually tough looking.
But I haven't seen her wrestle yet, personally, Marina Shafir. I haven't seen her wrestle yet. I've always said to do the bodyguard stuff for Moxley, but like,
and that's all she needs to do. That's all.
I think Shayna has more to her as far as like she can win championships and be a dominant champion. You know, she's a good wrestler. I see more to her than just being a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there really a career for Marina outside being a bodyguard?
But she could be the best bodyguard there is in the company. And I think this comes back to, like, let's play your, I don't see how that's a bad role for her to play. If that's where your strong suit is, I just, you're not, they're not going to have Marina out there, like, fighting everyone. And as my whole point, I guess, is they have dropped the ball with Shayna in that she, when she's supposed to look dominant, she loses. And that's typically all her main roster run is, or has been, is just her losing all the time. And so no one, it's sort of like with Karrion Kross. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the Wyatt Six. But, you know, Final Testament loses all the time. So no one cares that the Wyatt Six, you know, is attacking them. And then when the Wyatt Six get ultimately brutalized by the Final Testament, people are confused by it. Because this is the team that was just getting beat up. Like, why are we treating the Final Testament this way?
Why is WWE afraid of giving women mouthpieces? Like, you look at AEW, they have several women who have, you know, managers and mouthpieces, whether it be like Stokely with Willow, or Stokely with Chris Statlander, or what's his name for Tony Storm. I mean, not, he's not really a mouthpiece, but a manager. You know, I feel like, well, why are they afraid to give some of these women mouthpieces? You know, like, so someone who could benefit from a mouthpiece. You know, she's not the worst talker in the world, but Zoe Stark could benefit from having a mouthpiece. Like, she did really well when she was with Trish Stratus. That pairing did really well. Shayna could do well with someone like a, not necessarily Paul Heyman, but like Paul Heyman can, you know, like Brock, like Shayna Baszler is almost like a female Brock Lesnar as far as MMA trained background, stronger than everybody else, just ultimate badass, yada, yada, yada. Kind of like how she was in NXT, portrayed like that. Asuka gave her a mouthpiece. Why is WWE hesitant to give women mouthpieces or managers?
It's a good question. We're going to have to ask Triple H that one, because I have no idea. I agree with you, though. I think if they utilized the manager role better, you know, Stokely Hathaway is fantastic at it. I feel like even someone like Robert Stone on NXT, like, instead of having him sitting here, like, playing the stupid, you know, assistant GM role, he did decent with Von Wagner getting him over. I feel like he could come up and, you know, first off, there's an immediate story for Shayna, because he used to be Chelsea's manager. So there's that connection there. But I feel like Robert Stone could come up and, like, build, like, a faction of women and have, like, a dominant faction behind them or something. I agree with you. I do think there's some talent. Like, even someone like Lyra Valkyria is not the best promo out there. And she could use a mouthpiece. Like, people, she got over because of Becky. But you took Becky away from her, and she's, you know, jobbing with the Katana and Kayden right now. So we'll move forward. The next match was Kofi versus Pete Dunne, I believe. At least the next one we're going to talk about. First off, this whole match gets created because Pete Dunne's still a little bitch and gets upset when everyone calls him Butch. I don't understand the storyline. I don't. But the ultimate thing is more so this was used as a piece to further Kofi versus Xavier. And I want to ask the same question Nerdy D asked last night. Why are we, like, 4 months behind this fucking turn? And I know what you're going to say, because you said it yesterday. I know they've been together for 10 years. But just friendships don't need to take 8 weeks to fucking break up.
Well, I'm just saying. Would I prefer to kind of broke up already? Sure. But if you want to look at it from the realistic standpoint, You know what I'm saying? You know, best friends, brothers for 10 plus years. You guys get into a little hiccup. You know, you guys have been in a little bit of a funk. You know what I'm saying? Brothers have their ups and downs and whatnot. As far as, like, Kofi being put in the match against Butch, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of going into where Kofi's, like, still uber babyface, but, like, Karrion kind of got, you know, got into Xavier's head. And Xavier's starting to think more like, you know, what, like, we're sitting here without championships. We haven't been in the title picture forever. You know, kind of like the same frustration that the Street Profits are having. But only Xavier is the one getting frustrated in the group. And so it was kind of similar to Candace and Indy, where Candace is like, hey, you know, maybe we got to stop being such goody two-shoes, you know, to get some victories. You know, Kofi is not getting on board. And instead of being focused on getting the, you know, getting in the back into the tag team picture, Kofi wants to fight R-Truth's battles to mind his business. And Xavier's trying to tell him, like, hey, you know, that's Truth's battle. It's not our battle. Let's keep pushing. Let's stay focused on these titles. And then Kofi is not listening to him. So, I mean, Xavier has the good logic. It's just that he's taking too long to bounce. But, you know, at the end of the day, when it does happen, you know, saying the crowd's going to care when they eventually come to blows. You know, I think they waited too long to pull the trigger. You know, I think also maybe he's waiting for the right crowd or the right show to do it. Maybe he's waiting to get back into, like, I don't know, Corpus Christi, or back into a Philadelphia or a New York, or I don't know. Like one of those good crowds to where he's like, you know, Triple H is guaranteed a good reaction. I don't know. But also, neither of these guys are PLE guys right now. So it's not going to be that big PLE. You got to find the right Monday Night Raw to do it on. But, you know, also with no Big E. So, I mean, also, I think what happened was they got thrown a wrench with the whole Odyssey Jones thing. That definitely threw a wrench in the plans, and that kind of probably delayed a bigger fuse.
It's easy though. That's easy to get around. You don't have to mention him by name, but you know, you could have Xavier walk in and be like, "Oh, where's the new guy at?" And oh, I told you he shouldn't have. And I told you you should have listened to me. And then you pull the trigger. And I just, the problem is when it does happen. And it's probably, you know, you're right, it's going to be at one of these big events. You know, I think what Triple H is trying to do is he's trying to smart us, or try to be smarter than the crowd. And he's got it in his back pocket for Saturday night main event, live on NBC, because it's not going to be on Peacock. It's going to be on actual cable TV for the whole world to see. And he has it in his back pocket that he's going to have this big. You know, you all remember the pancake guys and the unicorns, but they're going to turn on each other. And I just, when it does happen, sure, the crowd in the arena is going to care, and some of the casual fans will care. But by the time it gets there, I'm going to look and be like, okay, well, it took an extra 4 months to get here, and there was no reason for it.
Well, I think the reason is because after the whole Odyssey Jones situation, I think they had to change the reason for why Xavier turns. Like, I think when they were gonna bring Ozzy Jones in, it was gonna be Xavier being like, "Hey, why are you trying to replace Big E? You know, so you can't replace Big E, yada yada." And I think that would be kind of like the main focal point of why they're breaking up. You know, for and then once the Ozzy Jones thing didn't work out for his legal reasons or whatever, I think they had to adjust the reason for why Xavier was going to break up with Kofi.
Which I agree. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're going to do 4 months of a bonus story because some dude who was part of the faction for 2 weeks gets fired. I feel like they're dragging it out for no reason at all.
Kofi and Xavier are also two of the people who got screwed over by the two-hour switch. You know, so we go on TV and they've got no time because of the 2 hours. They're one of the stories that got pushed to the back burner for a week or two.
Again, I agree with you. we'll move forward. The next big thing is Sheamus and Braun Breaker. The big thing being apparently they fought on speed. Not a single person actually cares about it, though. And so now they're dragging that on to TV. And I'm in the minority with Nerdy D that if the story doesn't take place on Monday Night Raw or on SmackDown, or if the title, whoever the speed champion is, I think it's still Andrade. I don't know.
It is. It's Andrade and Candice.
I don't know because they're not allowed to have the fucking titles on TV. Therefore, to me, just like with Nerdy D, it's not canon. It's not a real thing. And so I don't understand why Braun Breaker and Sheamus are on speed in the first place.
Because all the wrestlers have been on speed. Like Rhea's had a match over there. Io's been wrestling over there. Tiffany had a match over there. They all have matches over there.
I'm not a big fan of that. Because, first off, they're not marketing this show at all.
Yeah, huh? I mean, all I'm saying is each individual match is getting the same views as a weekly TV product.
Right, but what happens is a view on YouTube or on X, I don't know exactly for X, but I know for YouTube that if I click on a video and I only watch 3 seconds of that video and then turn off of it, it counts as a view. So it may just be someone scrolling on their phone on X and they see the match and they sit there for 10 seconds and it plays and it gets counted as a view. And then they scroll away from it.
I'm just saying each individual match has a viewership between 700,000 and 1.7 million. So it's getting the same views as weekly TV shows, if not a little bit more. So I feel like if it's getting similar viewership, like in my eyes, it's canon. It's one thing if these are getting like 20K views, but they're getting 700,000, 800,000, million and a half views.
Right, but they're getting a million views on a platform that has 600 million people on it.
So a sixth of the people. I mean, yeah, six of the people who have the app are watching it.
No, it's not a six. It's like...
Wait, what did you say? 6 million?
600. It's getting a million views on an app that has 611 million people.
Yes, but the wrestling fans are... There's only like 2 million wrestling fans in the world. US.
That's not true.
There's like 2 million wrestling fans
World. But the problem is X is a global company. So it's not just the US watching it. It's Britain and Australia and Germany. And so you're getting, because if you did viewership of Raw globally, it's more than the 2 million people that watch it every week. It's probably closer to 5 or 6 million. So my whole point being is no one actually cares about, again, how are that's the sort of data I want to know. How are views calculated? What's the average view time of a match? So, for example, with our episodes, I think if I look at the data for, you know, the last episode, we have 16 views for the last episode that I did. And the average watch time for most of our episodes are less than 5 minutes. Just being out front with everyone. And so what that means is someone clicks on our video, they watch 2 minutes of the show, which means they just watched the intro, and then they move on from it. I think that's what the same thing is happening with speed. My whole problem with it is speed should be a thing. I'm happy that it's getting numbers, but it should be a thing where your stars that aren't on normal TV. And if you're going to put people that are already in established stories on speed, then you have to let us know about it. And
they did let you know. They told you about it on Raw. They showed you the fight.
But the whole idea of speed was that we're going to do tournaments to determine the new speed champion. Why the fuck is Braun Breaker the IC champion going after a title that can't even be on a show?
What's going to build his resume to stack up championships?
The speed title is the least important title in the wrestling industry right now. No one cares about it.
It's more important than the FTW title.
No, the FTW title was a lot more important than the Speed title.
I don't know about that one.
To the point that even now, I mean, the FTW title doesn't even exist anymore. They retired it.
It's more important than the TNA TV Championship.
No.
Social media title.
No, PCO running a great title run as a double champion right now. And at least
they are Frankenstein holding the title. Like, what's that telling you? They got fucking Frankenstein holding that.
Bro, PCO's 80 years old. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yo, tell that man to like retire or die. Like, that man got to do something. he should not be on TNA pay-per-views.
I agree though. Let's move forward to this whole fifth member shit. First off,
wait! Don't spoil nothing.
I ain't gonna spoil who the fifth member is. I just want to know why the fuck this has to be a storyline. Why couldn't we just keep it at four?
Honestly, I think they should have done is, I think for the fifth member stuff, I think that the new Bloodline 2.0 led by Solo, I think they should have brought in Tala Tonga. And then I think that Roman, his bloodline, should have brought in The Rock. And then in the War Games match, The Rock comes in last. And he turns on Roman and the boys and aligns himself with Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat down on Roman and them. And then they pin Roman and them inside War Games.
I like that. A lot better than what the fuck we're going to get. And we'll find out next week. we'll actually talk more about this next week when everything gets debuted. But I'm not upset as much with the men's one as I am with the women's one. But again, we'll talk about that next week. Women's one.
Because the women's one, I just feel, I don't know, why are they teaming together?
Right. So that's the next bullet point is, why, you just mentioned, Damage Control and Bianca and Jay just fought for the titles.
Because also, if I'm not mistaken, weren't Damage Control still kind of heels?
I don't know what the fuck they are.
Because they turned on Bayley, they were on their own. And I'm pretty sure they were still heels as far as the two of them and Dakota Kai, three of them together.
Right. But I don't know what they were because they went up against the heels and PFC. And I don't know. I don't know what their whole thing is with Damage Control, to be honest with you. But yeah, there is a big plot point as to why, you know, Naomi makes sense. We know Naomi was there yesterday, so we could talk about her. Naomi makes sense. She's best friends with Bianca and Jade. Io makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And what this is, though, and again, we'll talk more about this next week, is they're just melding all the major women's storylines together. And I sort of probably gave the hint to everyone of what this is. I'm trying to just talk about this without spoiling it, because
also Liv and Nia just had a match at Crown Jewel against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Where Raquel and them cost Nia the title.
Mm-hmm.
So why is Nia gonna team with Liv and Raquel when they just cost her the Crown Jewel title?
It's a great question. Find out why next week if you guys want to watch Raw. The last thing I want to talk about is the Wyatt Six.
I don't really care. Honestly, get rid of all the members except for Dexter Lumis. Keep Dexter Lumis and put him on my TV screen. I like Dexter. I like his creepiness.
I like it. I just, they missed an opportunity bringing him back to pair him with fucking Johnny and Indy and all of them. I don't know why he didn't go back to being with that group. And now Indy's gone, so it doesn't even fucking matter. But
Especially when in canon, him and Indy were husband and wife.
Right. So I don't understand why they did it this way. I did like, though, you know, I'm gonna mention a dude you don't necessarily care for his opinion about, but Vince Russo had the same reaction I did. It makes no sense. Because Final Testament, you know, 6 months ago, was the team that if you needed to get over a tag team, you would beat up on Final Testament. And now all of a sudden they're beating the Wyatt Six. And I don't know. I just We kidnapped Miz. Apparently, he double crossed. And now Karrion Kross is sort of like uneasy. For whatever reason, he just beat down the fucking Uncle Howdy. I get he's laughing, but are you scared of a laugh? I don't get it. But I don't really have much to say other than I told everyone this was going to fucking happen. And I got murdered on fucking Twitter for shitting on this. So in the end, I'm right. And I'll just take the win.
Well, what they got to do is scrap this whole Wyatt Six bull crap. All right. Pair up Joe Gacy and Dexter Lumis as a tag team. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let Dexter be the quiet, creepy one, where Joe Gacy is the talkative, jumbo, crazy guy.
Did you watch NXT when Joe Gacy was there? Did you see his gimmick with the schism?
Two other guys with the yellow masks. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's what the Wyatt Six should have been, was just a further extension of that. Instead, it's essentially just Bray Wyatt fan club, and the fan club is creaming their pants because, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. But like Joe Gacy, first off, his theme song in NXT is probably the only wrestling theme song that's actually in a playlist not dedicated for wrestling. Love that song. But he actually had an interesting, like, creepy gimmick. I usually am not a big fan of the sort of like horror thriller genre of gimmicks, but I liked his. And I feel like, you know, him and Dexter would work good together. I think Redbeard's a Viking. Like, the real guy named Redbeard is a Viking. Pair him with fucking the Viking, the War Raiders. Make that a faction.
He can be their muscle.
Right. And Bo Dallas, just, I'm glad he came back. I'm sure this is his therapy for losing his brother, but at some point you just got to be like, bro, this don't work no more. You could just have him come back with the fucking Bo Leave sign and everyone will laugh their ass off. And then the other dude, what's her name? Fucking Nikki Cross.
Give me back Nikki ASA Superhero.
Bro, people shit on that gimmick, but that was so fucking good.
It was good.
So we don't have questions from Discord this week. So we're going to jump in. We're going to end the show with Thirsty Tuesday. Let me go post the matchups this week, though. And then we'll talk about them. So what had happened is we're in the second round now. So Wavy D has 9 people remaining. I have 7. So he's currently ahead of me. And so that how we're going to run the second round, because 7 of the 8 matchups are still me versus Wavy D, we're going to run it like we did the first round, except for the matchup where he has 2 people, which is actually going to be the first matchup we do for the second round. That's Antonia Gentry versus Margot Robbie. How are we going to run this one? We're not going to mention our vote on the episode, but both of us are just going to vote in the Discord with everyone. You're just going to have to sacrifice whoever, the one you don't like the most. That's going to be the first matchup. Matchup number 2 is going to be Hawk to a Girl Haley Welsh versus Sabrina Carpenter. If Haley Welsh upsets again, because she shouldn't have won the first round. I don't know what this voting was going on here, but that's going to be matchup number 2.
It's because Kerry Hilson's too mature for our audience.
Yeah. she's going against Sabrina Carpenter now, so we know how that's going to go. Matchup number 3 is going to be let me pull up my bracket because I don't remember all of them in the order I want to do. Okay, Livy Dunn versus Bella Thorne. Y'all do with that as you wish. And then the last matchup of this week will be Ruby Rose versus Addison Rae. What y'all thought? What are your thoughts on these matchups? How do you think you're going to fare?
Let's see. I feel like the Sabrina Carpenter one, I feel like I should run away with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Sabrina Carpenter, like, for everything you like Haley for, mm-hmm, I feel like Sabrina does better. Mm-hmm. Like, if you like the blonde hair, she got better blonde hair. Mm-hmm. If you like her eyes, she got better eyes. Mm-hmm. Lakers eyebrows, she got better eyebrows. Lakers smile, better lips. She actually has talent as far as like she can sing. Yeah, who's in here voting already? Yeah,
that's James, my dude. What the fuck, dude? No, I'm gonna be honest with you, James. What the fuck are you doing? Because if this wasn't my competition, I'm voting Sabrina Carpenter all day. I straight up have already said on one of these episodes she should win this whole tournament.
This man went straight down the line with check marks. He didn't know where the X is. let's see. Yeah, like, I feel like, you know, on to the next one, you know, say Ruby Rose, Ass, and Ray. I feel like the pictures, you know, say they both got the makeup done. They mm-hmm. both got kind of similar hairstyle in the picture. You know, say it just depends if you like, you know, vanilla, you like yourself a little flavor. So,
I don't remember what I was watching, but Ruby Rose was in like an advertisement. And she looked good.
That's on Tommy.
And I was watching some video with Sarah Safari in it.
Yeah.
She was like on a dating show or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. She should have won her matchup last round.
That's what I'm telling you. See, that's how I got those underrated ones. Livy Dunn versus Bella Thorne. This right here is a tough matchup for Bella Thorne. She's going against one of your top picks. Mm-hmm. Livy Dunn has potential to make it to the finals, I think, on your side of the bracket or on that side of the bracket. You know, it's a good picture. She got internet clout right now. You know, say she's got to go against the right person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People love the blonde girls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
she got a nice body. It's gonna be a tough out. It's gonna be a tough out.
Yeah. Yeah, that red hair gonna cost Bella because apparently this group of people that we have in our Discord don't like redheads. But look, there should be no reason. I mean, I think Livy Dunn definitely wins this one. But you might have if James gonna be the only person that vote, we gonna need everyone in this Discord to vote. Because we have like the same four people vote every week. And there's like 11 of y'all in this Discord.
Yeah. When it comes down to Antonia versus Margot, as far as my voting, you know what I'm saying, one of them I like more, but mm-hmm. as far as like trying to get the win,
I might have to vote the other
person. Yeah, I might have to vote the other person. Just so they can get the, you know, get the wins.
Right. Because that's a strategy play for you. Because whoever you pick to win there is going to have to go against the winner of Jennifer Lawrence and Jennifer Lopez, which is next week. So you got to play some strategy there. So, but with that, I think obviously you're going to win one of the Antonio or Margo, whoever you pick, or whoever gets picked. There, but of the other three matchups, I'm gonna say Livy goes for me, but we could split the other two. I think maybe Addison goes for me. Sabrina should go for you. You could go 3-1 this week.
I'm looking ahead to next week. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna need Vanessa Hutchins to clutch up because I need her to stay in the way of Livy Dunn. I need Vanessa Hutchins and her nostalgia factor,
right?
To get rid of Livy Dunn.
I'm be honest with you. I'm surprised BB, because most people don't like BB.
She beat Janae Aiko. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. There could be a fair possibility the final four is all wavy D, and I'm 100% okay with it. But what's your final thoughts as we head out of here?
Final thoughts. I'm looking forward to Raw and SmackDown going to 3 hours. I think a good let's get cooking for next week is to we make a list of women of who we think is going to be in the women's Royal Rumble match.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You write down 30 names. I write down 30 names. See who we have in common. Who we don't have in common.
Okay.
And we try to predict the participants for the Women's Royal Rumble.
Okay. Let me write that down. I like that one. We'll definitely do that.
And then in the next coming weeks, we gotta talk to the Junkyard Boys, talk to maybe Early, talk around, and we gotta get a panel for our end of the year awards.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Because I don't think Cody's ever actually seen Nerdy D. So I would like to have Nerdy D on. That'd be fun.
Yes.
But he needs to grow that beard out first, and then he can come up. No, I'm playing.
You need a beard to be in the junkyard.
I'm playing. But yeah, speaking of the junkyard, I actually don't know if they're recording this week. Because Cody's a Washington Commanders fan. They're on Thursday. They play your Eagles on Thursday.
Yeah, I know.
And so I don't know if they'll be recording. James might record. Cody might not be there. But go check out their channel. Link is in the description as well. But outside of that, go if you're in the Discord, go vote. Thirsty Tuesday needs some participation.
Yeah. We need more votes than the presidential election got. Let's go. there was like 15 million less voters this year.
And then if you're not in the Discord and you're listening to this, go join the Discord. It's where we talk wrestling. It's a little quiet right now just because, no one's in there. So me and Wavy D will keep up some conversation with you if you need to. We could talk Thursday, Tuesday. We talk wrestling. There's a place for general chat. We talk about whatever. So that link is in the description as well. But with that, we'll see y'all next week. The Friday show, just the last little thing. We're gonna change it up a little bit. Instead of just two straight wrestling shows a week, I'm still gonna give a wrestling rant, but it's not gonna be the whole show. We're gonna do a little bit of a pop culture sports type show. See if that works next week. See if y'all like that. I'm gonna talk about some of my favorite movie series, my top five movie series of all time. Y'all gonna be top 10 because I couldn't narrow it down to five. Y'all gonna hate my answers. I already know it, but
to the top 10 movies of all time,
top 10 movie series like trilogies. Or like franchises basically. And then what else we got? We're going to talk about we're going to make some NFL predictions. I'm going to start doing that each week. Of course, I won't do Thursday Night Football. I will go ahead and name it. Eagles are winning this Thursday.
Yes, sir.
But I'll do Sunday's games every Friday from now on. May talk some NBA if things get – as the season gets going. It's still early, mostly football talk. College football playoffs are getting ready to start, so I'm going to start doing predictions there. But other than that, yeah, Friday is going to change up a little bit. We're going to try to expand this audience just from the small niche of wrestling fans on the internet and try to bring in the sports fans to the slap and meat world. If y'all tune into that. Until then, though, y'all have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week. I will see you Friday. Me and Wavy will be here again next Thursday, next Tuesday. And other than that, y'all have a great rest of your day.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.